So, Pastor and brothers and sisters, we ask our brother Ted to continue our study from Hebrews chapter 3.
We're continuing then, brothers and sisters, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice. As the Holy Spirit saith. Now Paul is quoting Psalm 95. Peter says, holy men of God spake as they were moved of the Holy Spirit. The Master says, Yahweh is Spirit. Not a Spirit. Yahweh is Spirit. So, Yahweh is Holy Spirit. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from the Father. Because it was he that caused holy men to speak. Yahweh spake by the prophets. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spoke through the prophets. Hath in these last days, that's the last days of the Mosaic economy, the last date of Judah's commonwealth, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. So the Father was speaking from off the mercy seat. Jesus was the mercy seat. The Father was speaking through him. The words that I speak are not my words, but the words of him that sent me. So Yahweh is the Word. Yahweh is Christ. The Spirit of Christ which was in them. You can't separate the Christ from the Father. Christ which was in the prophets, Peter says. The anointing that came upon the Son. What if I go back again where I came from? The Spirit tabernacled in the Son, spoke through him. So, Yahweh is the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit said, today, if you will hear his voice, if, how many listen? All those 2 million or so came out of Egypt. How many of them listened? Very few. Many are called, few are chosen. My sheep hear my voice. It's only those who develop minds of the Spirit that can hear him and know what he's saying. Today, if you will hear his voice. Now, today is always today. You know the saying, tomorrow never comes. It's always today. So, tomorrow is always tomorrow. So that Paul is saying, today, after such a long time, after thousands of years, is still today. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day. He limits it. Saying to David, today. After so long a time. Oh, how long it was since he spoke those words through David. As it is said, today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, that occurs 5 times. Paul uses it 5 times. Again in Psalm 95. But actually, it occurs 7 times altogether. And the 7th one is in Hebrews chapter 13, And verse 8. This is lovely, this. Chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, that occurs 9 times, and today, he's the same, and forever. Not tomorrow, forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. The Father doesn't change, and neither does the Son. That's the seventh time. So, brothers and sisters, today is continuous. Today is continuous. This day of opportunity. Now, Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 2, I have heard thee, he said, in a time accepted, in the day, that's today, the day of salvation, that's today. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is today. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. And we've got to grasp it today. Think of the five wise virgins. Today, they're getting the oil. Because if they wait till tomorrow, it's too late. And their lights go out. And there's so few are taking the opportunity, as we've said before. Redeem the time. Oh, how much time we all waste, brothers and sisters. Redeem the time, buy up the time, get the mind of the Father in us. That's the way to get to the kingdom, no other way. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. So today, the day of salvation. Now this day, brothers and sisters, of salvation is typified by the Day of Atonement. Now let's go back to that. Leviticus 23, the Day of Atonement. You all know what happened on the Day of Atonement. That was the only day in the year that the high priest went beyond the veil with the blood and offered for himself and for all the people. Day of Atonement. And what did Israel have to do on that day? What do we have to do in this day? Chapter 23, Leviticus, verse 26. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. Covering of sin. Covering over. It shall be an holy convocation. A holy gathering together of Israel. Unto you. And note what they had to do. Ye shall afflict your souls. And offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, and ye shall do no work on that same day. It is a day of atonement to make atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted, and it means to break in pieces, in the same day he shall be cut off from among his people. Now you look at this word that's been translated, afflict. It's got a whole list of different words or different ways it's been translated. But I've just selected four. A base self. See, we're nothing. No one that is proud will ever attain to the kingdom. We are nothing, brothers and sisters. We're just flesh. Never let us forget that. We're nothing. It's only the new creature that God is interested in. That is something, because that's the Son of God. And that's all the Father's interest. He looks on the heart. That's the new creature. It's got to be fed with spiritual food. Abase self. Chasten self. That's what we've got to do every day of our lives, brothers and sisters. Chasten self. Humble self. Submit self. Now this word is used of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Lovely, yes. This is what we've got to do in this day. Afflict self, humble it, crucify the flesh. Daniel 10. Wonderful chapter. Because we've got in this chapter the typical death and resurrection of not only Daniel but all the faithful. See, he was left alone. Comeliness turned into corruption, verse 8. Typical of the death state. After seeing a vision of the glorious multitude of the redeemed. Verses 5 and 6. Now he's in the death state. Now going on to verse 12. It's a typical resurrection. He's woken. He's in a deep sleep in verse 9. And then he comes out of the grave. And he's on his hands and his knees. You know, the attitude of prayer. We've got to pray all the time to be accounted worthy. Verse 11, he said unto me, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. And brothers and sisters, that's going to be said to every son of God in that day. And if it isn't said, then they're not his children. Because when we stand at Sinai, it will be a terrible place. There's no doubt about that. Typified by the house of El, when Jacob was there, and he was terrified. Moses was terrified when he heard the voice of the Almighty. Paul says he was. And we shall be. But the difference, brothers and sisters, is that the children of God have an angel. And here's Daniel with an angel. The angel of Yahweh encamps around those that fear him. And here's Daniel's angel, putting his hand on his shoulder. Oh, Daniel, fear not. Verse 12. Fear not. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. That's what we're doing all the time. When we're studying the word, we're trying to understand and see what the Father's telling us. The noble Bereans, they search the scriptures. And that means to examine it. To critically examine the word. You know, get the concordance out. Well, what is the Spirit telling us here? And that's how Daniel was. He set his heart to understand. That's the new creature. And to chasten thyself before thy God. That's the word. That's the word. You see how the Spirit uses that word of Daniel. And that's what we've got to do in this day of salvation. Abase self, chasten self, humble and submit self. If we don't do that, no. Crucifying the flesh, because that's what it means. Crucifying the flesh. Crucifying the flesh. So, we've got to do that. And now, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went beyond the veil. And there was all Israel assembled. And they can hear him walking about, because the bells are tinkling on the hem of his garment. They know he's alive. But then he has to put a special garment to go in beyond the veil. And they're waiting for him to come out to bless them. And now, isn't it marvellous, brothers and sisters? Our high priest has gone beyond the veil. And we're waiting for him to come out to bless us. That's what we're waiting for. And we hope it'll be very soon. We're patiently waiting for our high priest. And so, going back to our chapter, if, says Paul, if he will hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Brothers and sisters, it's so easy to be listening. Oh yes, very interesting. We're listening. Oh yes. And then go away and forget. What's the good of that? Whatever is the good of studying the scriptures and then forget all about it. Do nothing about it. We've got to be doers, says James. It is no good getting a lot of knowledge if it doesn't change our lives. And many times I've said that. It's got to do something in our lives. It's got to put the flesh to death. The stone that David slung at the giant went into his brain. And that's what the stone has got to do to us. It's got to put the flesh to death. But with Goliath, that's all he was, flesh. Nothing else. So there was nothing left but flesh. And he's dead. But when the flesh is put to death, there's something else there. This new creature that belongs to the Father. It's so easy to hear and yet not hear. And they heard what Stephen said. And they shut their ears. And they rushed on him and killed him. Because he was speaking the truth. And they can't stand the truth. Because the flesh cannot receive the things of the Spirit. That's why Paul says so. Now, if we turn to Matthew chapter 13. Christ emphasizes this hearing and yet not hearing. Matthew 13. He's given the parable of the sower. And now he's explaining it to his disciples. Not to the crowd, mind you. Not to Israel. Not for them, he says. It's only those who have ears to hear. That's what he says in verse 9. So in verse 13 he says, therefore speak I to them in parables. I once heard a sister say, Jesus spoke in simple language for simple people to understand. Rubbish. Absolute nonsense. It's right, the reverse to what he tells us here. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not. Oh yes, they got eyes. They can't see. Hearing, they hear not. Well, they've got ears. They can hear what he's saying. But it makes no difference to them, because they don't understand it. They don't understand it. They're still fools, aren't they? So, verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand. And he says it again in verse 15. Not understand. Now we come down to verse 22. After going through the parable, this and that chokes the word, that chokes the word, that chokes the word. You know, if I had television, I know that would choke the word in me. Because I love, my flesh loves television. I love to watch a film. I know that that would put that spirit man to death. So what are we going to do? Are we going to crucify the flesh, or are we going to give in to the flesh? Or it may not affect you like that. It does me. So different things. Now verse 23. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Oh yes, they all heard it, heard it, heard it, heard it. And the care of this world. And then in Mark's account, and the lust of other things. Oh. So there's nothing left out, you know. Nothing left out. The lust of other things. Israel, they lusted after the things of Egypt. Six things of Egypt. And you know, they're all to do with the ground. Brother pointed this out last week. I was thrilled about that. He said, you know, those six things are all to do with the ground. But the things of the kingdom, you had to reach up grapes, you've got to reach up and get the grapes, and so on, pomegranates. I thought that was lovely. So, groveling down in the things of this life, lusts of other things, like Israel, lusting after Egypt, and the deceitfulness of riches. Well, we're living in the Laodicean age. We've got to be very careful, you know, brothers and sisters. Deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Archipos is the Greek word, and it occurs seven times. Seven times. And the last time it is used in Jude. Trees without leaves. It says fruit, but it's actually trees without leaves and without fruit. Unfruitful, same word. So they don't produce any fruit. The seed has been choked. But, now this is where we've got to be, brothers and sisters. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it. Because the Father has given them understanding. Do we come to the readings each day and think that we can go to the readings without asking him to open our eyes and to bless the reading? We can't. We give thanks for our meals. And we should pray for the Father to open our eyes as we read the readings. Give us of this manna. And he will. He'll give us understanding. No doubt about that. So, he gives them understanding, and which beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundred, like men like Paul bring forth hundredfold, some 60, some 30, but they're all bringing forth fruit. We've got to grow in the truth and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Harden. The word is scleruno, if I've got it right. Scleruno. And it occurs six times. Six times, that's good, isn't it? Six times. Flesh. And do you know what it means? Stubborn. No wonder Israel weren't to plough with an ox and an ass together. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, says Paul. Yeah, stubborn. That's the flesh. That's got to be put away. Don't be stubborn like Israel. They had all those wonderful signs. They had no excuse. You know, you can hear brethren say, especially when they've seen the wilderness. Well, I haven't, but I know brethren here have. They say, well, it's terrible. Well, so it was terrible. But Moses didn't complain. Joshua didn't complain. The faithful didn't complain. They trusted the Father. He's brought us out of Egypt. He's going to bring us into land. So they didn't complain. Don't grumble, says Paul, 1 Corinthians 10. Don't grumble like they did. It's all written for our learning. Harden not your hearts. Another word used for hardening of heart is poru, and that also occurs six times. And it's from poros, a kind of stone. Oh, kind of stone. We've got stony hearts. Israel got stony hearts. They still got stony hearts. And until they're given a heart of flesh, they'll never see the truth. Brethren going over to Israel to preach to Jews. Rubbish. That's Christ's work. That's Elijah's work. And the saints with him. They'll never see the truth, brethren and sisters, until their eyes are open and that they've got given a heart of flesh. Then they'll see. And the world are in darkness. And they won't see the truth until it's revealed to them. Isaiah speaks about the time in chapter 25 that the veil's going to be taken away. No, Israel's got a veil over their eyes, Paul says, and it'll remain there until Christ removes it. So they've got a heart of stone. Notice Paul repeats this in verse 15. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. As in the provocation. You know the Hebrew for provocation? Meribah. So they call, so that place was called Meribah. Provocation. And it occurs 10 times. And the day of temptation. And that was, the place was called Massa. And that occurs 5 times. The tempting of Yahweh in the wilderness is referred to 10 times. And in Numbers 14:22, they have tempted me these 10 times and I've not hearkened to my voice. And all through the history of Israel they didn't hearken. They wouldn't listen. They would not hear. God sent prophet after prophet to them. And the last of all, he sent his son. And he wouldn't listen. Put him to death. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved, says the Spirit, with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Err in the heart. That's where it is. Brothers and sisters, we either got the truth in the heart, or we haven't. And they erred in the heart. I want to look, turn with me to Psalm 53. It's also repeated in Psalm 14. Psalm 53. Oh, what a powerful psalm. How many times do we wonder that we haven't seen the power of this psalm? We all know the beginning of the psalm. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But have we ever noticed that the fool says it in his heart? He doesn't say it out loud. Like the people in the world, they say, well, there's no God. You try to prove me there's a God. It's people that's in their heart saying there's no God. Corrupt are they, abound to me. Corrupt are they. And have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. No, they can't possibly. Because they don't believe in God. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men, just as he did in the days of Noah, to see if there were any that did understand. Understand. Back to the parable. And that did seek Yahweh. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Now notice this. Every one of them is gone back. These are these fools that don't believe in their heart. They're in their heart. Say, oh, that's a God. And they're going to the meeting. Oh yes. They're in the truth, brethren and sisters, these are. They don't believe there's a God. And they might be sitting next to you breaking bread on Sunday. You don't know. Because you don't know what's going on in their heart. Every one of them is gone back. So they're bound to be in the truth, aren't they? In the world. They're not gone back because they're already there. They haven't come forward. It's someone in the truth, brethren and sisters, have gone back. Falling away from the truth. They are altogether become filthy. But they were clean. They were washed. Sanctified. But they've gone away from the truth. They've become filthy. That's why we get brethren and sisters leaving the truth. It starts, oh, I don't think there's a God. I can't see this. That's how it starts. And they go back. And they become filthy. The sow, Peter, it's like the sow that was washed and returns to its wallowing in the mire. Ugh. A lovely clean sow, and now it's filthy again. It's like the dog turns to its vomit. Ugh. Now that is how God views a person that leads the truth. I've got a son and his wife has left the truth, and I've tried to point this out to them. It's sad. Very sad. But it must have started long ago when they didn't believe there was a God. And then how do they end up? Workers of iniquity. Verse 4. Workers of iniquity. How many times do you find that in the Psalms? Didn't Christ refer to it? Workers of iniquity. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You profess to be my children. Workers of iniquity, that's all you are. Now, don't let us be amongst them. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Matthew 15. I'm trying to race up against the time now. Matthew chapter 15. And verse 10. Matthew 15. Verse 10. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Well, but the multitude couldn't, because their eyes were closed. Their ears were closed. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So it's talking about words coming out of the mouth, out of the heart. Verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, they defile a man. For out of the heart, and he gives seven forms of evil, seven, perfection of evil, coming out of the heart. Evil thoughts, murders, he that loveth not his brother is a murderer, adulteries, plenty of that going on, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. To eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. It's all right, it's a good thing to wash your hands, but that doesn't defile the man. Might die with a germ, but it doesn't defile him spiritually. Luke 6, 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What have we got in our hearts, brothers and sisters? If we haven't got this in there, how can it come out? Out of the good treasure of the heart. Now, just one or two, just Proverbs 10. Just one or two little verses about this coming, this beautiful, the truth coming out of the heart. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And that should be you and I, brothers and sisters. Christ was the supreme example. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Yahweh is the fountain of living water. And we should be a well of life. Verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many. Fools die for want of wisdom. They don't feed on the word. They're fools. We start that in Proverbs chapter 1. Fools. No oil in their vessels. Verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. In other words, it's going to be destroyed. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Good comes out of a good heart, evil out of an evil heart. They erred in their heart. They have not known me, says the Spirit. They have not known me. Israel didn't know him. And there's only one way to know him and his ways. It's by feeding on spiritual things. This is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It's the only way. Now verse 11 of chapter 3. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Time's going so quickly. So if you want to make a note of this, Numbers 14, 22 to 24, and Numbers 32, verses 10 and 11. He swear that they should not come into that promised land because they didn't believe him. Now verse 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren. That's what we've got to do. Paul's telling his brethren here and telling us. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So you see, it's so easy to have an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today. What else he say elsewhere? Exhort one another so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And as we said before, he was at the end of the age. The day was approaching. AD 70 was approaching. We're at the end of the Gentile age. The day is approaching. And it's still today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Deceitful heart, deceitfulness of sin. And the word there is apatia, and it occurs seven times. And it's the kind of thing that the serpent did. As the serpent beguiled Eve, and that word beguiled has got this apatia in it. It's got another little word, ex apatia, or ek apatia. And it's also translated deceived. Serpent beguiled Eve, deceived her. And we can be deceived by our hearts, brethren, and say, oh, well, there's not really much wrong with that. I don't think it's wrong, really, to do this and do that. Brother so-and-so does it, so I don't see why I can't do it. Just think, what would Christ do it? Would the Apostle Paul do it? But they're struggling to get into the kingdom, working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Would Christ do this or that or the other? Don't give in to this heart, deceitful heart. The deceitfulness of sin is another expression. Sin which doth so easily beset us. Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? Doesn't it? Sin which doth so easily beset us. Burdened with it. We're running a race. You can't take weights. Get rid of the weights, he says. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Sin can only be defeated by being girded with the whole armour of God. The whole armour. And there's seven things there that Paul talks about that we've got to get. Complete armour. It's only the word in us that can overcome sin, brothers and sisters. No other way. It was the word in Jesus that overcame the flesh. The word in us will overcome. No other way. Let the word of the anointed dwell in you richly. And if the word is in us, Yahweh is in us. Christ is in us. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. That's the spirit in us. We haven't got the Holy Spirit, but Brother Thomas says we've got as much of the Holy Spirit as we've got the Word in us. Holy Spirit didn't overcome flesh in the apostles that were at it. It was the Word in them that overcame the flesh, not the Holy Spirit. The Word. That's the Spirit in us. Verses 18 and 19. To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter in. It was impossible for them to enter in because they didn't believe. And neither can we, brothers and sisters, enter in if we don't believe? Just think of Joshua and Caleb. I always think of those two men. Those two men went with the other 10 spies to spy out the land. Oh yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I had a little gem this morning reading and I'm looking up from Proverbs. Honey. Oh, that's interesting. Get the concordance. Land flowing with milk and honey. 17 times. It's marvellous because 17 is such a wonderful number. It goes all through Scripture. Just as a sign. 17. Land flowing with milk and honey. They couldn't get in because they didn't believe. And there was Joshua and Caleb went with those men. They saw the walled up towns. They saw Jericho and all these great walls. They saw the giants. Oh, Joshua and Caleb saw it as well. And they come back and they go, two men carrying all these grapes. Oh yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, all right. There's no doubt about it. Oh, we could never possibly get in there. Oh, there too. Oh, the walled up cities. Giants. Never. Impossible. Yes, Jesus said salvation is impossible for men. So it is. But all things are possible with God. Joshua and Caleb believe that. They weren't worried about walled up cities and giants. Neither was David. What about a giant? God will deliver him into my hands. And he did. That's faith. Without faith it is impossible to please him. They didn't believe. They had hearts of unbelief. We've got to have hearts of belief, brothers and sisters. God is so great. Nothing is impossible with him. He is able to bring us into the kingdom. And he will if we trust him. If we believe him and trust him, he will bring us in. About that, there is no doubt. We shouldn't have any doubts. Joshua and Caleb had no doubts. And so God brought Joshua and Caleb in. And the others, we never get there. No, and they didn't. They perished in the wilderness because they didn't believe that God could do it. But their children did. Our children had died, but they didn't. Children couldn't think any different. The children went in, along with Joshua and Caleb. So salvation is impossible with men, but with God all things are possible. Without faith it is impossible to please him. I want to conclude with words of the Apostle Paul concerning the faith of it. I love these words. I'm always quoting them. Romans chapter 4. And he's talking about Abraham and his faith. At the end of verse 9 he says, faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And brethren and sisters, that our faith will be reckoned to us for righteousness. As it was with Abraham. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He'd reached nearly 100 years. God had promised him a son. Look at the stars, so shall thy seed be. Look at the sand, you can't number the sand, so shall thy seed be. And he didn't doubt God. And now he was an old man and his wife is an old lady. But Paul said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God is able to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's how we've got to believe, brothers and sisters, that God is able to bring us into that kingdom. Don't doubt him. He's got the power to do it, and he'll do it. There was Abraham. He believed him. So it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, verse 23, it was not written for his sake alone, not only for Abraham, but to him, but that it was imputed to him, but to us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if Here we are, back to the if again. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences, we keep on sinning. Oh, wretched man that I am, when I would do good, evil is present with me, says the Apostle Paul, Romans 7. It gives us wonderful encouragement, because we keep on failing as well. So it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Christ was delivered. How can I overcome the flesh? Through Christ. Through Christ, says Paul, who was delivered for our offences, was raised for our justification. Brethren and sisters, there are few Christadelphians today who believe that. That's a fact. When you hear brethren and sisters say, I don't know when I'll be in the kingdom. Yes, all right. Tomorrow I could go astray. We spoke about that earlier. Brethren, turning away from the truth. If I do that, there's no hope for me. But if we're steadfast, we'll be in the kingdom. We're acquitted. That's what it means. Justification. Set forth as righteous. Freed from guilt. Forgiven. We either believe it or we don't believe it. And then Paul goes on to say, therefore, being justified, forgiven, acquitted by faith. Can't forget that. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of Yahweh. And that is to share the glory with Christ and all the faithful all down the ages. So, brethren and sisters, let us be steadfast, unmovable in the faith, because the body is falling apart. No doubt about that. There are very few that really love the word today. They that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written for them that feared Yahweh and thought or esteemed with value his name. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. That's you and I, brothers and sisters, if we're faithful to the end.